Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. I'd like to welcome you back to the Fireside Chat. My name is Apostle Johnny Floyd. For those that know me as Johnny. Some know me as Elder Floyd, and there are those that call me Apostle Floyd. And so whatever your endearment or address you want to make towards me, I like to be known just as a good old brother. I like doing the work. And so just like to welcome you all here tonight. It's been almost 2 months since I last did a broadcast, just took some time off. I had to take some time to really regurgitate some things and hear from the Lord, which I think is vitally important. Last, I was really dealing with the making of a leader, and during that process, I had surgery. And so I had surgery on my left and right hip, but in September I had surgery on my right hip. And so those that knew me, watched me, saw me, knew I was walking around with a cane. And so I'm just excited to say that I'm not using a cane anymore. I'm able to walk around, and sometimes it brings tears to my eyes because ever since 2017, I really just walked around with a cane. So God is good, and I'm excited about that. Before I dive into my discussion or the things I'm going to talk about tonight, I just want to go into a word of prayer, if we can do that. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Father, we appreciate you. God, there is no other God like you in all of the earth. And Father, we just are grateful that you would bless us to be here during this time period. And God, I pray, Lord, that the things that are said tonight, God, be orchestrated by you. And Father, that you deliver a constant, repetitive word that directs us to you and not to the things that we often see people point us to. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I'm grateful for many things, and this discussion, the things I'm going to talk about preliminary are going to lead me into an area of discussion, and that I want to leave with you. And so the importance of it is just focused around the nature by which we have introduced God to people. I had a discussion with a very dear friend of mine, and we talk a lot. And so she says things that makes me think. And so this drove me to where I am right now in this discussion. And just so you get a good idea, the discussion was really about the presentation, how we present ourselves and how we present God. And often I hear her referred to as the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers as titles. And in a sense, you know, I don't disagree with her, because we really just, some of them put that in front of our name and there's no function with it. And so if you have a doctor in front of your name, then there's the opportunity to where you perform the act of a doctor, you know, and that's the physician type of where you are actually doing things that are related to medicine or psychology, or you have a PhD in something and you're able to show your expertise in that area. Now, I'm glad I used that word. Because when we present God, we have gotten to the point of where we present God as we are experts at it, and we're not. Many times from the Christendom, we present Christ as Christianity. And so that becomes a presentation. And so and that presentation varies. It has various different looks to it, depending upon who is presenting it. And I say presentation because our presentation comes from how we do church. And so some of us grew up in the church and some didn't. And so if you grew up in various different religions, it was the presentation of that religion that was first presented to you and not God. And so what I wanted to do tonight, based upon having that discussion, was do something that presents God to you. Because, you know, we have a large number of people that are leaving what we call the church. And I want to say man's church, because they're leaving the confines and the borders of what we call present day church. But it does not mean that they have left God. And sometimes we want to simultaneously say that folks have left God because they have not returned back to man's church. And so that is so far from the truth. And I don't want to present a religion. I want to present God. But the presentation of God, you know, I'm going to use in a different manner. And so what I think is important, because we often refer to as the Bible as the Word of God. And you're going to hear me say some things. You may disagree with me, and that's okay. You know, because I'm not trying to run a popularity contest. I really, in my heart, I want people to know who God is and not know God through my eyes. But I want you to know God through your eyes. And so in order to do that, I want to have a fresh start, a new beginning, because, some have problems with Muslims, but the Muslim has a format by which they teach standards. And in teaching these standards, they hold each other accountable to these standards. And so every religion that is out there, and I'm going to say this now, minus Christianity is dogmatic by presenting who they are and what they do. And so Christianity comes in so many different shapes, forms, and sizes that the presentation of God changes depending upon who's presenting him. And so I want to present him, and then through study. So I don't want to study religion. I don't want to study format, church. I just want to present God, if that's possible, to do that. And the way I'm going to do this is starting out in the beginning in the book of Genesis, and I'm going to read this whole entire first chapter. I'm not going to go past chapter number one, because I want to show you, you know, how to dig and study, if that makes sense. Because if you do this, then you're not going to be locked in by one's presentation of Christianity or non-denominational, even though they say non-denominational, they are being led by a denomination, right? So I don't want to present God through the apostolic faith, even though that's where I'm from, Pentecostal holiness. I just want to remove all of these covered layers so you can see him. So if you would turn, if you have your Bibles, and that is Genesis chapter number one. Even for some of us that are a novice in biblical context, this would be simple, but I'm going to go a little bit further. If you would, read with me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, verse number two. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. Verse number three. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I'm reading from the King James Version, but you can read from any version you want to. Verse number 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together upon one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herb, and herb yielding seed after his and God, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good, and the evening and the morning of the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth, and the evening and the morning of the fifth day. And God said, and this is verse number 24, and let the earth bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he, him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the earth, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you earth-bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree. And which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So this is Genesis chapter number 1. So
this is what has become a theologian and a scholar's argument of creation. And so where we have, in believing in God, this is our way of believing how God created the heavens and the earth. And so now let's bring validity to this, because Moses is the writer. I feel the presence of the Lord. Moses is the writer here. And so the word Genesis is really not the word used. It's what we translated it to be. The Greek and Hebraic word is Bereshit. And it's B-E-R-E-S-H-I-T, Bereshit, right? And so, and it has different abbreviations, but the word really means in the beginning. So the translation of the word from the Hebraic form says that this is the beginning. So it is the start or the generation of something. Without going into Revelations, I want to stay away from Revelations, but I want to really just look now. And so as we read this, as we have read this, we read through it, and some of us that probably have your Bible open did not even read it. You kind of recited it because you may have known exactly what was being said. But I want to draw attention as we go through this and we walk through this biblical concept, because I don't want to, and we're reading it in present day, but we're not reading it in the context of which the time and period that it was written. So in present day, we have a lot of distractions. We have a lot of people that want to give an understanding or a revelation, so to speak, or give their dissertation of what the Word of God is. So, and I want to say something. I want to be clear about this, right? So these books that we read comes from the first five books, comes from the Torah, all right? And that is the Jewish book or the Jewish Bible. So they are the ones that had this before them. So this was not a Bible to them. This was the Torah. And so let's understand this. From the time that Moses is writing this is way before the construction or development of the canonized Bible. And the canonized Bible is the one that we use that has 66 books. And if that is the only thing you're going to read, then you're going to miss out on a whole lot of things that will take you into the time, the season, and in the context of where this word was written, or these books were written. So the Jewish people recognized the Torah, all right? Now, Genesis wasn't the first book written, right? Job was. You know, Job was the first book written. However, Genesis is the first book we find in the canonized Bible. So for all the historians out there, we are well aware that Genesis is not the first book written, but is the first book that is placed in the canonized Bible. Now, I'm just laying a foundation, because I'm not trying to tell you who God is. If I could get you to, I want to reprogram or deprogram your thoughts, right? From being deprogrammed from a Christendom or Christianity, because there was no Christianity in the beginning. There was only God. Ooh, so if I'm staying here in the book of Genesis, but I just doing the comparison back and forth. So before we see Christianity reading Genesis, Bereshit, right? Before we get into that or trying to compare it from a Christendom perspective, let's just read it raw. Can we do that? And so now seeing this brings into mind that in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, right, and I may not finish this tonight, and that's okay. I'm going to be back here next Tuesday night as well. we see that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. So this is what we call the cosmic earth. If you ever heard that expression, there is the cosmic earth and the chaotic earth, right? The cosmic earth represents the earth that did not have shape or form to it. It did not have light. It was completely void. And so we enter into the cosmos, as one would say that, but the cosmic earth, it represents something that has no form, no void. You know, it has void or has no shape, that has nothing exists with it. So now reading this again, and if you're taking notes, I want you to fact check me, when God begins to speak in the first verse, right, as Moses writes that what God begins to do in the first verse is Moses writing this, and it's Moses indicates that earth without form, without void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon it. So now, if you could, the platform that Moses lays out here is somewhat where you are when you are introduced to God. Watch it now. If there is nothing there to shape or form your belief, you are in a cosmic state, all right? And it's not until God speaks to you that it brings chaos, right? Now, I know y'all are probably like, what is he talking about? So if God sees something, and before he shapes and forms it, before he puts his hands on it, or let me back up, before he puts his word on it, what he speaks, it has no life. It has no shape. It has no presence, no void to it. You know, it has nothing. It doesn't even have an existence. And it's not until the Spirit of the Lord moves upon it that something happens. And so now, again, the first state of the earth is a cosmic earth, right? The second stage of it, it becomes chaotic. Because God speaks and he changes the actual formation of this place that we call, right? Now, so this is, again, I'm not religiously saying anything. I'm just laying a foundation. Is that okay? This is not from a religious perspective. I'm not talking about, I hadn't got to the Holy Spirit. I hadn't got to speaking in tongues. So let's just keep this where we are. The first day, Moses indicates that God says something, that God speaks and says, let there be light. And then the obedience of things that has no shape, no form, is void, is that light comes. It gives a valid indication of the power when God speaks. I hope y'all are gathering this now. This indicates, now, and granted this again, this indicates how from a creation perspective on what we believe. But this also shows the power at this point when nothing exists. Moses gives description that God said, let there be light, and there was light. It didn't say there was no hesitation with it. It didn't say there was a thought process in it. It didn't say that there was anything that was going on other than the fact that God said something, and that was a quick response to what he said. Now, then Moses goes on and said, God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. If you remember now, the earth is already dark. It's already dark. So when light came, he divided the light from the darkness. He never got rid of the darkness. But he divided the light from the darkness. He never got rid of the darkness. He divided the light from the darkness. Now, and I want you to grab a hold of this now, is that, you know, nothing was created unless God spoke it. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness, he called it night. And this was the evening and the morning of the first day. Now, now from a Jewish perspective, the morning is when the sun goes down. Right? So when we get to the point of the day where the sun goes down, it's morning time. We in the U.S. are different. We call morning when the sun comes up. That's our morning. But that becomes the evening in reference to creation. Now, this gives speculation because now you have questions. If we drawing to you clearing your thoughts of all that you've been indoctrinated to believe, if we go by what is written now, then there's a different standpoint or a different place that we can step on that is very clear, because now what we see contradicts with the overall concept of what morning is and what night is. All right? And so we're going on to verse number 6, because I'm shaving ice off the top, just shaving some ice off the top. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Constantly here again, God speaks something, right? And when he says it, it comes to pass. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning of the second day. So again, God is speaking. It is the Lord talking. Moses is just giving his narrative on what happened. All right? So God speaks to something that does not exist. And when he says it, something has to take shape and form, because it's God speaking. If we believe that when God says something, it happens, then our foundation has to be made upon not what we read, but hearing the voice of God speak to us. I'm staying where I am. So if we were taught to listen for the voice of God, so when God says something, we know his voice, my Lord. And then when he speaks, we expect whatever God has said to happen. Can't make no more vital sense out of that other than the fact of what we read. So Genesis chapter 1 now lets us know something as we begin to really dive into this. That it is indicating that the voice of God is more powerful than what we read. Because what we read can change, but the essence of God speaking to something doesn't. It doesn't. So Moses now says or writes this, and he's giving it to us definitively. Because God is not speaking abstractly to something. He's speaking directly to it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So on the third day, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together upon one place and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathering together the waters called he seas, and God saw it, and it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb bearing yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. And after the evening, and the evening and the morning were the third day. So again, now God is speaking to the earth. God is speaking to the earth, and he's giving the earth a command. And in this command, the earth is obeying the voice of God. This is not an analogy. This is the actuality of it. God is speaking to the earth. Now, what makes the earth chaotic is that something is changing now. It wasn't like it was, and it's beginning to take shape and form, but it is receiving instructions and obeying God. God is shaping the earth with his voice. The word of the Lord, and I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm not talking about the books in the Bible. I'm just literally saying, take me for what I am saying. It is the words that are coming out of the mouth of God that is shaping and forming the dirt, the earth, and the waters are obeying it. Now, watch it now. Not just the earth, because we go to the fourth day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them bring forth signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two lights, the greater light rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good, and even in the morning for the fourth day. So God just doesn't shake the earth, but he begins now to shape the universe. All right? I'm going to say something because, again, everything is foundation. So now God sets the stars, he puts them in place. The moon is the light for the night. The sun is the light for the day. And now in the midst of all of this now, he's put stars in there. He's shaping the universe. So not only is the earth obeying him, but the stars, the moon, and the sun, and what he's shaping and forming is obeying him. You have to see this now. Your foundation has to first be solid that God speaks. Don't get into the Christianity and the rest of that stuff, or Buddhist, or Hindu, or Jehovah's Witness, Apostolic, Pentecostal, Baptist, Muslim. I'm not getting any of that. I just want to focus on this one thing. Your foundation of knowing who God is to know that God speaks. He has not ever stopped speaking except for one time period when he could hear. They could hear him. It was known as a silent year. Doesn't mean God wouldn't speak. So listen to me now. If someone just came up to you and could not identify the fact that God speaks and that he wants to talk to you, where's the foundation? Because here in the beginning of what this is not the beginning of time. Genesis does not represent the beginning of time. And that's the other thing I want to really put into your thought process. Because time has an end to it, right? This was not done in time, okay? So now as God speaks, there is no end to him talking. And he will speak to you if you can be as humble as you can. Doesn't mean anybody got to hear what God has to say. Doesn't even mean you have to tell people what God said to you. And you don't have to give explanation to what God says to you. Just to know now, if we start afresh, is that God will speak to you. Now, he's shown that he talks. Moses gives description of this 4 days. Even he does it in the fifth day, right? Now, he spoke to the waters. He spoke to the sun. He spoke to the earth. He spoke to trees, fruit-bearing trees, and grass. And everything that was growing was obeying the voice of the Lord. So now I just want you to grab a hold of this now. We hadn't gotten into healing. We ain't gotten into none of the stuff that we're talking about today, because if you don't know the foundation of it, then it would be difficult to understand who God is. And I want you now to give your own thoughts as you read this. So in the fifth day, he said, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And God said, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed him, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth, and the evening and the morning of the fifth day. Again, God is speaking, but now he's speaking to things that are not attached to the earth, but lives in the waters, walk upon the earth, and fly in the air. Watch it now. So not only is God speaking, but his voice creates something. I want y'all to grab a hold of that now. If you're taking notes, I'm going to slow down. Not only does God speak, and that when he speaks, things obey, but he's not only speaking to the earth, but he's speaking to the other things that he created, and they are obeying him. Everything that God created, and before we get to man, obeys the voice of the Lord. So God is speaking and he has not stopped. And so now we're getting into an interesting part here, because I'm going to go back and I'm going to do some other things, but I want to point you into this direction, because I need you to hear emphatically what is being said. This is the sixth day. God creates the land, or the creatures on the land, rather. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw it, and it was good. And God said, let us make man. So now, I don't want to get into that right now. Let me stop. So now he brings in the cattle. So everything that is on the earth now, every living creature, every insect, every bird, everything that is upon this earth has been placed here, right? He's put it here. Out of his mouth, he has spoken, and something now appears that wasn't there before. Look at the chaos that's happening in this chaotic earth. When he finishes, it settles in because now it's not chaotic anymore. It's just earth. So we go from a cosmic earth that did not exist, that did not have any shape, form, or void, it just didn't have anything to it, to a chaotic earth that was going through the shaping and the molding and the pushing and the pulling and the earth moving into the place that God has spoken that it would be into, and it did not disobey God. If God told the waters to recede from the land, it still does it today, because as the beach comes up, regardless if it's a tsunami, it still has to roll back off the water, out into the water. Waves hit the beach, and it may be washing sand away, it may be eroding, but it still has a border to it. The night is still separated from the day. The sun still rules the day, and the moon still rules the night. So look at now how the voice of God has said something, and the power behind it, it still obeys. Because if we go in present time, the earth still obeys God. Now, some of you already know, I've said that multiple times, in times past, that the earth still obeys God. And it is the lack of our study that when we get to other biblical content, we don't have a foundation, and we're pushing people in the opposite direction. When Moses, the writer, is giving us creation, but we're looking at creation not in the context of when it was happening then, but where we are today. But if we look at creation in the context of when it was happening, it was all revolving around God speaking. Your introduction to God is to be able to be in a position to hear God talk to you. Not me, not the preacher. We may say some things that may encourage you. We may say some things that may prick your heart. But the real transformation in your life, the foundation is not from a Christendom or Christianity or any other religion. It is based upon God speaking to you. For those that know me, I don't want to hear what Paul said, what was written in the letter Paul wrote to whatever church, Corinthian church. I don't want to hear that. Some people. I want to know what God said to you. Your foundation of knowing who God is to be able to hear his voice. Not read a book. It's good to read the Bible. I'm not kicking it. Trust me, I'm not. But the foundation here is not based upon you reading a book. It is based upon God speaking to you. Can I go a little further? So, now, the interesting piece from in Genesis chapter number 1 from verse 1 to, and I have a few minutes left, to verse number 25, is that when you read this, verse 1 through 25 are all provisions. God don't need an earth. God don't need water. He don't need the sun or the moon. He don't need the stars. He don't need the fish in the sea, the fowl in the air. He does not need herb-bearing trees, fruit-bearing trees. Doesn't need insects or anything creeping upon earth. He don't need cattle or anything walking on earth. But this is the provision of God. Now, who is God providing for? I'm making a point now. Because, you see, we weren't taught this. We didn't read this in present time because we read it where we are, and we have so many things in our head that we can't get this. But in Genesis chapter number 1, from verse 1 down to 25, is all the provisions. It's all the provisions. So verse number 26, says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the earth, and over the cattle, and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created he, him, male and female, he created he, them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, and then just say unto the one, he said unto them, right, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the earth and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And evening and morning were the sixth day. So, created man in his image, and now this is vitally important here, because the image of God is spirit. And so God created our spirit first. Before we get into dust from the air and him blowing into the nostrils of man and him become a living soul, you know, this is what God did. He created the spirit of the man, right? Because if you hear this completely, there are a few things going on here. You hear the creativity and the power in God's word. So God can speak things that are not as if they were. He can speak it into existence. Only God can do that. It is God that speaks these things into existence. Because his word is the only word that is powerful. Ain't talking about what's written. Because if you, in this present moment, when Moses is writing this, and when this is being subscribed, before he even writes it, we are assuming that God gave Moses this to write. Are you with me? And so, as Moses is writing this, it is based upon someone giving him the story or God speaking to him. And then God, I would want to say God was speaking to him, but I don't know, because I cannot validate that God spoke to Moses about this. Because the Jewish or it's not Jewish, but the history of the children of God as it led from Adam on up, they passed on information by old transmission, means they told or they spoke these things from generation to generation, okay? And so which would indicate that Moses got this either from someone or God spoke to him about it himself. Whatever the case is, if we believe this, then the foundation first is that God speaks. And now when he speaks, he brings order based upon his order, not ours, to a situation that did not have any consistency with it. I hope I'm making sense. And so this is just Genesis chapter number one. And it is the creativity of God, because as he creates man in his own image, right, man is the vision of God. And before God brings his vision in, he supplies everything that man would need. Look at Genesis now. God doesn't bring man in and then gives his provision for him. He gives all the provision that man would need. And that spirit being male and female, before he brings them in. Now, again, from a foundation perspective, this would tell us that before we cast a vision to anybody, that means if it's God's vision, that he's already provided for. And if he speaks it, then he's going to do it. He's not concerned about us doing it. So right now, I'm about to speak to some people because I feel the presence of the Lord. Whatever God has said to you, he's going to do it. Because that is his character, and he started it by taking an earth that had no shape, no void, no form to it, and he speaks and becomes chaotic. If your life has become chaotic in the state that you are in, that means God is shaping it, he's forming it, and he's getting ready to make a presentation. Whew, boy, I had to get that out. He has not changed his motive of doing things. The only issue is that we haven't been taught how to hear from him. We've been taught to go read a book that's called a Bible. Again, I don't have a problem with the Bible, you know. But the thing that Moses strikes out first is that God speaks. And when the Lord speaks, something is about to happen. Something is going to take shape and form. Because it is the Spirit of the Lord, which is the Spirit of God, which is God himself, his word. When he speaks now, thing is taking form. So now, so that means that God spoke a benediction over the earth. He spoke a final word, and the earth received it. The fowls of the air received it. The spirit of the man received it. And the final word was that God gave him dominion over his provision. So that doesn't make us providers. No man is a provider. God has already given the provision, but he just gave us dominion over the provision. There is nothing man can do to provide. God gives him the know-how to step into a place and to take or receive the provision, whether it be work or whether it be a business. Whatever that might be, for you all that's on this call, and I'm looking at it right now, the numbers say there's over 300 of you on this call. I don't know who God is speaking to. I want you to clear your minds of all of the stuff that you have been introduced to. And I only want you to see this one thing. And we just scratched the surface on Genesis chapter number one. Next Tuesday might go a little deeper. But in this scratching of the surface, the true foundation is that you know the voice of God. Whew, that's some powerful stuff. Because now it would indicate not that you know what I say, not that you would be waiting to hear from a pastor. And trust me, there's somebody here giving some beautiful, elegant words, and they're digging into the heart of man. You know, but how would it be if you heard from the Lord? What would happen if you took that opportunity and that you would listen to God speak to you, because you don't realize that he's been talking in your spirit. He's been speaking to your spirit. He's been sending word to your spirit. And if your life seems a little chaotic, it's because he's shaping it. This is the very foundation of where we are. From the beginning in Genesis chapter number one, before we get into anything else, you are the image of God. You were made in the image of God. Your spirit is the image of God. Your spirit is what gives you life. And it is in your spirit that everything that you need, God gave you, and he gave you dominion. There was nothing else God needed to put into your spirit other than what he had already done. Nothing else. He didn't have to go back and redo a work, because he's already done it in you. It lies in your spirit, because that is the image of God. And he gave your spirit dominion over everything. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm loving to end the call on this. And after I say this, I'm going to go into a word of prayer. I only have a few minutes left. I'm doing this only for an hour. If y'all battle with your brother for another 3 to 4 minutes, None of this was done in time. Time has a beginning and an end to it. When God did this, he did it in an eternal place. He created all of this in an eternal place. Because when he did it, man wasn't supposed to die. There was no end to him. All of this was done in eternity where he resides. This is the place now, and I want you to grab this, that when you begin to know who God is, he steps out of eternity in the time where we are. He's not doing it through religion. He just wants to talk to you. All he wants. He wants to talk to you. And if your ears are open when you hear him, even where you are right now, I don't care if anything else is whispering in your ear. You know what the voice of God sounds like. You, sometimes you can be talking to yourself. Sometimes you can be talking yourself into something or out of something. And once you start talking, you drown out the voice of God. God stops speaking. But when you stop talking, God gives you direction. I know this because I need to hear from him every day. I need him to talk to me. Can God shut down everything around you and speak to you in a voice? He can do anything he want to do. He can do anything. I'm not going to tell you he's not going to do that. I cannot tell you what God won't do. I cannot tell you that. But I can tell you he wants to talk to you. He wants to have a conversation with you. And if you can hear what he says about you, and it's chaotic, that means he's creating, he's shaping, he's forming. That's the power in it. Dear hearts, I appreciate you all bearing with me for this hour. And I hope I've said something that would cause you to go back and study, dig. Look at this for what it is. I don't want you to see this religiously. I want you to see God's pattern. Amen. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. God, we appreciate you. Lord, I love you. Lord, my plan is your plan. I won't point anybody towards religion. I want the point. And God, only through you can you show yourself. Only through you will you reveal yourself. And Lord, you don't do it the same way everybody else do it. You don't come the way that we want you to come. You have your own way that you want to deal with us individually. And Father, have our eyes open and ready to hear from you. And as you ask us things, that we have the courage to respond. I bless you, oh God, for every ear that listened tonight, Father, for everyone that engaged this process. Father, I love you. And God, I pray a special prayer over them that they, oh God, will follow your instructions. In Jesus' name, Lord, be with us until the next time we pray. Amen. Well, dear heart, again, I just scratched the surface on Genesis chapter 1. Next week, we're going to go a little bit further because, you know, nobody eat a whole turkey. And there's a lot in here to decipher. There's a lot in here. And I'm not talking about Revelation. Let's just look at it. Let's read it. If you would, you know, go back, read the Bible, grab some other things. Just don't depend on your Bible to tell you what's going on. Dig, study, research. Love y'all now. Until next Tuesday, 7:30. God bless you.